seated. Okay, please find a comfortable posture. Keep your back straight as much as you can. Gently close your eyes. Take a few deep, long breaths. Let go. Relax your body. Relax your mind. Now send your loving thoughts towards yourself. May I be well. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. Now send your loving thoughts towards your family. May all of my family members be well, be happy, be peaceful. Now send your loving thoughts towards whole world. May all living beings be well, be happy, be peaceful. Now slowly turn your attention to your breath. Every breath you take in, you take out, is taken mindfully. If you are distracted by a thought or a feeling or a sensation, bring your attention back. Yes, your mind, please bring it back to the breath. Now think to yourself, these many things that arise in my mind do not belong to me. When I think that they are mine to do as I wish, to cling to or to push away or to ignore, I generate enormous suffering in my life and in the life of others. May I continue to develop great regard, respect and kindness towards many contents of my mind and my body. Now bring your palms together close to your heart. Make a wish for yourself and also your family, your friends, your loved ones. This is a good time to do so. May peace be with you. May you be well. May you be happy. May you be peaceful. Thank you very much. Please open your eyes. Okay, good morning, everybody. Okay, so so I am coming from Buddhist cultural background. So our spiritual journey go with the Buddha from birth. So what is your cultural background, religious background? You are coming from what kind of background? America,
European,
American. So then you have your own religious background too. So in the Buddhist people, always talking about the Buddha. How about you? Your religious cultural background, you are talking about? Christianity. Yeah, you are talking about the God, divine, right? So my question, I was thinking to myself, I have ever seen the Buddha. I didn't. Then what I'm doing? Person I never see and never meet this person, but the name of that person, I am continue my journey with that idea. So then Western European people, because of their religious background, they are believing the divine, the higher power, the God. You have seen the God? No? So you never seen the God. So my question is, where is the God? Okay, within yourself, okay, which is wonderful. Sometimes, you know, traditionally when we talk about the God and when I'm asking that question, people always doing like this. Okay, when you do like this, I want to understand what it means. Huh? In your culture, when you're pointing out up, up on heaven. So then another question will come. Where is the heaven?
Up.
Up. There. Where? There's a sky I can see, blue sky and cloud sky. And so it's very interesting, right? You know, sometime. Now I was thinking to myself, when we're talking about the Buddha, Buddha is not divine. We have an idea and thought and a clue. There was a man, his name was Siddhartha Gautama. He was a prince, he was born into a royal family, and he became a Buddha, and 2600 years ago he passed away. So there is a news. Based on that news information, we continue this journey now. Now 2600 years ago, Buddha left the world. But still we don't know. So, if you want to see the Buddha, you know, now 2600 years ago, he passed away. Now we are talking of the Buddha and his teaching. If you want to see the Buddha, how we are going to see him? This one? This statue, big, gigantic statue? That is the Buddha? What do you think? Yeah, in your heart. Yeah, Buddha is in your heart. So once Buddha said, you know, don't worry about those words, appatimo, patima means statue. Right? So Buddha said, now we have a big statue here. So I know this teaching, you know, so that's my background. Appatimo means you cannot see the Buddha in a statue. Then what the heck we are doing? Why we are keeping the Buddha, you know, this statue? So this is exactly the Prince Siddhartha? I don't think so. This is not. So then again he said, you cannot put the Buddha into a statue. Through the statue you cannot see the Buddha. But as a symbol, however, artists, we, some ideas in our mind, mind-made creation, so then we put this statue. Now think about, when I was in Japan a few years ago, I'm going again in April for a retreat. So when we went to a big, gigantic statue in Japan, it's called the Kamakura, the Buddha statue, right? That bronze, big, beautiful Buddha. So when I'm looking at this Buddha, I like it. Exactly look like a Japanese man. The face is round and look like a Japanese. When we go to China, Chinese Buddha statue, exactly look like Chinese. So whoever built the Buddha statue always taking the cultural background. So we call this style, we call the Gandhara style. That's in a certain area in India. That is the area they started to build that statue. Then we call the Gandhara statue. You can see when you go to Sri Lanka, we can see this kind of style of the Buddha statue. So that is the way that time people have that imagination. Buddha used to live like, you know, look like this. So sometime, you know, when Sri Lankan people used to this statue, when they have Chinese or Japanese Buddha statue, they don't like it. Why is that? Their conditioned mind always thinking their Buddha, you know, they call our Buddha. It's so funny to me. They call our Buddha is not look like this. So then we go to the Thailand, it's totally different. So then people are always picky according to their cultural background. So my point is, that is not the teaching. So if you want to see the Buddha, no need to have a statue. Do you think it's important to have a statue to see the Buddha? Why we need the statue then? Remind us, okay. What else? Inspiration. Yeah. So don't misunderstand, okay? Don't misunderstand. I'm trying to teach you something, you know, too deep. When you keep the statue, that means our minds are what? Weak. In somehow, it's like getting the inspiration, I understand. So our minds are weak because we have to have something to hold. Something to see, something to touch, you know, something tangible. So then we feel good. So which is totally fine, but if you really believing that that's the way it is, that is the problem. So therefore, how we are going to see the real Buddha then, after 2600 years later, after he passed away? How we are going to see the Buddha? Inside. So, if you want to see the Buddha, Buddha said, through my teaching, practicing what I said, practicing the guidance of the or the teaching of the Buddha, you can see me through the teaching. So, when I was a young monk, you know, Michael knows really well because he used to live in the temple in Sri Lanka, my home temple. Morning, like 5 o'clock, we get up, go and chanting, sleepy, and you know, I don't want to go, and but we have to, no options. So we go there. But I remember that time, my training time, my heart and my mind is not there. I'm not with the Buddha. I'm sad. Why? I want to sleep. So, I didn't see the Buddha that time. Now I see him every single day. I see him. Every day he's in my heart. Whether I see the statue or not, I don't have a statue or not, I see the Buddha. Why is that? How am I going to see the Buddha now? Now my practice getting better. My practice getting better. So for me now personally, I don't want to sit down and chant like hours and hours and hours. I don't feel that way anymore. Why is that? Because my practice, through my practice, I see the Buddha. Every day, I feel so grateful. So then Buddha means Siddhartha Gautama is the person. Then Buddha is a person. Siddhartha Gautama is the person. Now, after he attained the enlightenment, very rarely he used the word, my name is Siddhartha Gautama. He became a nameless. Then he said, I am the Buddha. Buddha is a person? Is he? No. He's not the person. Buddha is a quality. If you see as a quality, that's a totally different feeling. So then I was thinking, now think about the God concept. So sometimes people, children, especially children, when I go to the school, they always ask him funny questions. So then they asking, where is the heaven? I'm always saying, I don't know. I never been there. Where is the hell? I don't know, but I know hell. I have been there actually. But I can explain to you what is the heaven too. Is sometimes children are so curious, they are asking, where is the heaven? So there's what you said, Ingrid, and so God is within you. Then where's the heaven? Heaven is inside you also. Within the mind. Yeah, exactly. Everything is a perception. Everything is idea. So there's a beautiful story. There is a samurai warrior in Japan. And also there was a famous monk. This warrior, samurai warrior, he was thinking, I want to go and meet this famous monk and I want to learn from him. He's very famous. He's a good monk. And he go and bow to this monk and said, monk, I want to learn from you. First thing I want to ask you, where is the heaven? Where is the hell? That is the question I have today. Where is the heaven? Where is the hell? Then this kind, compassionate monk looking at him and he said, who you are? I am not ready to talk about heaven and hell. Get out! That's what monk said. He didn't respect this samurai warrior at all. Then he act like very crazy and angry. He's not smiling, not happy. Get out, I don't want to teach you that. Then he said, no, I want to learn. What kind of person you are? You act like a samurai warrior, you are not. Look at you. He's really insulting this man. Then now he feels a little anger inside him because this monk is not really respecting to this man, his question. Then he's keep asking. Then he said, no, I'm not ready to teach you. Get out from here. Then samurai warrior said, "You know, monk, you know who I am? I'm a samurai warrior." So then monk said, "Who cares? You are samurai warrior or not?" Then he said, "You can see my sword. Within a second, I can cut you off." Then he said, "Look at your rusty sword, what you can do." He's really disrespecting even his sword. Now he's getting angry and angry. Then he said, "I'm going to kill you." He said, "You cannot do this for me." Now he's really insulting the samurai warrior. Finally, the samurai warrior, little by little, he got angry and almost grabbed his sword and jumped into the monk. Monk said, "Stop." He said, "Stop." Then monk said, "That is the hell." He said, "That is the hell." Then he dropped the sword and bowed down in front of the monk. And then monk said, "Stop. That is the heaven." It's so amazing, right? Heaven and hell you can create within a moment inside you. So therefore, Buddha is a quality. Siddhartha is a person. Make sense? Buddha means, we call the Buddha quality in you. So that means I'm always reminding people there is a tiny little Buddha inside you. But you don't see it. Only thing you see, what? All the distracted, negative mind. So now when you are meditating, when you come to the Blue Lotus, or when you are going this inner journey, you get the opportunity to see this powerful Buddha nature within you. If you really want to see the God, if you really understand that concept, what Ingrid said, God is within you. You can see that. I can see, you know, certain places in the Bible too. Jesus said you can see the God within you, right? Yes. Yeah, exactly. So how powerful that teaching. So my point is, when we are looking for outside things, that means we are weak. We have weak mind. When we have weak mind, we need something to hold. Now think about, we have physical difficulties. We use a walker. So why we use a walker? We feel we are not balanced. We need something to hold. So that's what we call the dependency. We always depend. So that's why religions will come to the world. We call the fear-based religions. Based on the fear, religion will come, believing system will come, different cultures, different rituals will come because our minds are weak. But most of people in the world, it doesn't matter, Buddhist people or European or Westerners, it doesn't matter, they all doing the same thing I call temporary solutions. So, when you have a headache, when you have a headache or pain or something, what is the quick thing you do? Take aspirin, Advil, ibuprofen, Tylenol, something, right? We are going. So it's very quickly. We take two pills and drink some water. Then 2-3 hours, no problem. So again, the problem. Did you read the box? When you read the Tylenol or aspirin box, it says temporary relief. Take it every 4 hours. That means problems keep coming. Most of the time, our mental issues and all the time we are doing temporary solutions. So what Buddha said, what I am trying to teach you is a long process. It's a depend on the person. Some people figuring out like this. Some people take time. But this is the permanent fix. I'm giving you not temporary solution, I'm giving you a permanent fix. But that permanent fix, based on the person and the personality, is take time. Does it make sense? So, questions? Any questions? Now you ask yourself, can I live myself without the Buddha statue? You know, I'm not asking you to go home and throw the Buddha statue out. That's not what I'm asking, right? And take the Jesus, picture or whatever out. That's not what I'm asking. So I'm asking, can you live without those things? Yeah. You know, ask yourself in your practice, I'm totally fine with those things now. Why? I think I can go in that direction, in, you know, we call the inward journey, I'm going that direction, then I feel more confident about my practice. More I build the confidence about my practice, I see the Buddha, I see the God inside me. How powerful that. Then the whole world going upside down. Person who understands that doesn't matter. Why? You can see powerful Buddha nature or divine nature in you. Anything? Any thought? Any questions? Comment? So I meet so many young people come to me and tell, it's very difficult to believe these things now. You know, so when I go to, especially when you go to the high school, children talk about those things. They are not believing those things. They are not believers. They need real information to process. That's why so many people attract into the Buddhist teaching. Why? It is so practical. It's a going inward. So therefore, always we have to define it. Now, maybe Michael have a better idea. Now, Sri Lankan people also like that. Very ritualistic. That's why I started the Blue Lotus Temple like this. Less rituals here. But if you go to a Sri Lankan temple or Vietnamese temple, you know, hours they are chanting. Hours. It's so boring. So boring. So if you don't have time to do something, oh, sit down chanting. I call the lullaby. Feels so good. So we are not doing much here. So what we are doing here, you know, less ritual. But once in a while, just for fun, we are doing little rituals. But I'm not really encouraging it. If you want to have it, that's totally fine. It is fun and entertaining, those rituals. Colorful. But the practice is not colorful. Why is that? It's real. We have to go through the real difficulties, real challenges and real pain. We are facing to them right in front of me. I had to see it. I had to experience it. It is difficult. People don't like it. But when you do the ritualistic mind, so easy. Now, you know, Michael, you remember, right? When we do in our temple, in the home temple, like a big event, or a little big offering or puja, hundreds of thousands of people are there. But if you are doing a meditation retreat, 10 people, 12 people, very few. Why? Meditation they don't want to do. Why? They really see who they are. Why? It is dark, negative, emotions and all those things. They see those things. Why? People are not ready to deal with realities. So, same thing here. Why people get into alcohol? Why people are smoking? Why people are going to those addictions, substance? They don't want to see the realities. You know, why people are taking lots of pain medication? They don't want to face to it. It's very interesting. So, today this morning, I went to the dentist. My appointment was 7 o'clock. And then they want to do something. They said they are going to local anesthesia and a little injection. Then I asked first, can you do without it? So let me handle it. So then they try it. It's too difficult, too tense. So then they did it. I feel numb. I feel funny this side. So first we had to try without it. So, then you can test yourself. Does it make sense? Yeah. One of my teacher, you know, Bhante Mudita, he did the, you know, long time ago when I was a young monk, and he did his head surgery like here. Right? There's a little surgery. I can remember, they did very raw. He said, don't do any medication. I want to do it without anesthesia. Actually, he did really well. You know his character. And so he did without any pain medication. They cut it and they stitch it, and that's how they did it for him. So different mindset. I'm not there yet, right? And I'm not there yet. But some people can do it because they're using their mind powers. Yeah. So my point, my message is today, make yourself, your inner self, strong. More you get into your practice, you can see the Buddha. Otherwise, you never see the Buddha. So through the practice, through your own practice, you can experience who is the Buddha. That experience never shake after that. Buddha is here or there or dead, it doesn't matter. Why? You saw through your own practice. It is, then we call that mind is unshakable mind. Nobody cannot shake that mind after that. Okay? I hope everybody learned something. Thank you so much, everybody.